Hi, patrons. Justin just got his first Animoji.
I got it today, and I was on the flight down here, and then all of a sudden, there's this...
Was it a poop?
No, it was a fox.
Fox.
Because I don't really know the person like that well. Like, it was somebody that I knew for like through politics stuff, and he just sent me a thing and was like, I guess because I was like another person that he would think would have it.
Uh-huh. He's that tech guy.
Yeah, so he knows that I'm into the tech stuff, and so like... he sent me a fox emoji, an emoji. He's like, am I clever as a fox or do I have the new iPhone X? And I was like, well,
blocked.
I hate you because you have this phone and I want it now. It's really cool. Like the Animoji thing, like it is, it's really gimmicky, but it
meet
also is really, really fun.
My neighbor who ordered at midnight, you know, like a normal person who would like the phone today. You can track, your delivery.
Yeah.
So this morning at like 10 a.m., he sent me a screenshot and he's like, delivery guy is like 2 blocks away. And, you know, he lives right next to me. So I was like, right on. And then a couple hours ago, I texted him. I'm like, can I come over and just see it before, you know, I do ETNS and, you know, hands on. And he was like, still circling.
Oh.
And it's like, at this point, I'm like, is that even accurate, the tracking thing? Because, like, who's circling your house for like 4 hours?
Are you lying to me, tracking app?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to wonder whether or not that Domino's...
At this point, I'm just getting frantic texts like, still circling, where's my phone?
So he didn't get it? Did he get it eventually?
Hmm?
Did he end up getting it?
No, I just heard from him, and he's like, he's still circling. He must be making other deliveries. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Seems a little weird that that would be within 2 blocks of you for several hours.
He was on that.
What time are we?
1:12.
1:12. Okay, we have time for a little bit of a bullshit conversation. Oh, sorry for cursing. Where are you guys at on the amount of pillows that you sleep with on your bed?
Two pillows.
And actually really just one. The other one's just sort of adding a little lift to the one I lay directly on.
Okay. So you
I don't have them
two,
stacked. But like one behind, just kind of giving it an angle.
No pillow stacking. One pillow, queen size bed.
Mm-hmm.
You roll off it. That's it. No more pillows.
No body pillow.
Aren't pillows.
No body pillow. Who's got room for that?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's just like a luxury thing. You have a body pillow.
Actually, you know, I used to have like back problems and like the body pillow was actually really helpful.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can kind of just get in there.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like my head to be propped up really. Mm.
So this became like a fairly contentious Twitter back and forth between starting with Brant Hughes, one of the producer, editor, people for Brian Brushwood and Scam School and the Modern Rogue. And he was just like, hey, all of you more than one pillow people, like, what's your deal? And it immediately made me think of the fact that it's one of DJ Khaled's major keys to success, that you have a lot of pillows.
Uh-huh.
So I had to hit him with a congratulations, you played yourself. it became this thing where people were like, people are very vociferous about their pillow decision making.
It's true.
You know who has the worst pillows is any hotel. Like the worst.
You want to
like,
know what? I actually kind of long for, in fact, I am excited that I get to stay in a hotel tonight and do my favorite, like just a Godzilla in Tokyo. Like there's 80 pillows and 79 of them end up on the floor and somebody else has to pick them up. Like I enjoy being frivolously destructive with my pillows.
That life.
It's a great life, right? We can all agree. That's a hell of a life.
Sometimes they just, you know, they give you a pillow, but it's super, super hard. And it's like, this isn't a pillow. Like you can't sleep on this pillow. There's no give to it at all. Terrible.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life
for us.
Hey man, I'm going to be in Orlando for exactly 24 hours next week.
Oh, wow. What are you doing?
I got hired to do a corporate event on Tuesday night. So they're flying me in early Tuesday, and then I'm out of there Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Nice.
I can't even see anything, but at least it'll be I think, nice weather in Orlando.
Where? Yeah, it's starting to get really cool down there. What part of O-Town are you in?
I don't even know yet. The only thing I know is I'm going to the international airport, and then
yes,
they gave me a name of the place that I'm staying at is also the place that the event is at.
The Motel 6.
No, hang on. No, it's actually, I was worried about that.
Sleep
like, it was gonna
Inn.
Be,
the Roadway Inn.
It was going to be a 45-minute drive
Econo
from the
Lodge.
Well, to be fair, if it is in downtown Orlando near like any of the Universal properties or Disney, like everything is 30 to 45 minutes away from the airport.
Okay. It's the Omni Championship Champions Gate.
Omni Champions. I wonder if that's downtown.
That's
by
the hotel?
That's the hotel.
Omni Champions Game?
Champions Gate.
Oh, Gate.
In Orlando.
So, new cool snack alert.
Hmm.
Artichoke hearts in oil eaten with fingers.
Number one, I am so all about this. I love, love, love artichokes. And
I love them. I know.
Ashley hates them for whatever reason. Like, as a vegan, it's like the one vegetable that she cannot stand.
Hmm. Wait, which vegetable?
Artichokes.
I love artichokes.
You know, I only like artichoke hearts.
That's what we're talking about, Roger.
Brussels sprouts. What
are
you
saying? That's what these are. Brussels sprouts, also wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, I hate Brussels sprouts.
Oh, awesome. A wonderful veg.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you on both.
I'm a big
fan
of the Brussels sprouts myself.
Yeah, they're good.
No, Brussels sprouts are only good if they're covered in a.
Three out of four DTNS hosts surveyed preferred Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
No Brussels sprouts.
No, they're good.
I'll eat broccoli. I'll eat spinach. I'll eat pretty much everything.
Brussels
else.
Sprouts are essentially the same thing.
As what?
As broccoli and spinach.
They don't taste
just
like
different
broccoli
texture.
Or spinach.
You must not like their texture.
Yeah, I think you're getting
I don't
a little
like the taste.
On
no,
that
they're
one.
Just. I find
chicken
Brussels sprouts.
And Brussels sprouts are pretty much the
same. Brussels sprouts taste nothing like spinach or broccoli.
Where do you stand on asparagus?
I'm just thinking.
I love asparagus.
Delightful.
Yeah. I was saying that because they're both like high iron, very green and leafy, but
They're very
they don't
bitter.
Really taste
my life is bitter enough, Tom. I don't need to ingest.
Oh, but spinach is pretty bitter. So is broccoli.
Goddamn, Len.
Do not like
that. Len, you're south of Kissimmee.
Yeah,
that is a haul down I-4. That's you might as well be in Lakeland.
I have no idea.
Lakeland,
and by Lakeland, he means Lakeland. Ohio.
What? Yeah, no. This is a segment for all the patrons called Very Specific Central Florida Talk.
Is it nice? Is it? I mean, that's Orlando still, right? It's
so
a nice
yeah.
Area.
No, it's a big, gigantic, gorgeous resort with golf courses and everything. So that's why it's a little. It basically is on the less populated side, but still close to Disney.
Okay. Oh, so it is close by. Like, I have a couple hours before the thing. Will I have any time to like? Is it nearby enough to
you
like
can get one fast pass?
I mean, if you're willing to pony minutes. Up for the tickets, then yeah, like you should pop into Disney. Will be closer than Universal.
All right.
Anybody see that show? See It, Skip It yet?
Yeah, I disregarded the one
the,
dude and
the
I
advice
saw,
of Shagoon.
Yeah, I saw Thor last night.
Mm. And. Think?
You know, the more I've thought about it, the more I like it. I really liked it. I laughed a lot. I thought it was hilarious walking out of the theater, but there were things that I had kind of a little problems with. But now I'm starting to think more and more as I laugh back at remembering some of the jokes that, it was a 10 o'clock showing and listen, I'm just not built for that anymore. I don't think I can give a movie a fair review going to see it at 10 o'clock on a weekday.
Right. That's funny.
I want to see a movie, but I can only watch it at like night, and I'm afraid. Like, I want to watch Blade Runner, but it's like 2.5 hours, right?
Uh-huh, you're going to fall asleep.
I'm going to fall asleep, and then I'm going to miss the whole thing, and I'm going to be so bummed.
I actually stayed up for a movie. I was able to see the movie My Friend Dahmer last night.
Oh, really?
I heard that was good.
It was excellent. Yeah. It was really good. I ended up getting a screener of it because I was identified as a influencer in the world of graphic novels. So they just like the studio gave me a screener to watch and talk about.
And here you are right now. Influencing.
I am. It's no, you know what? I would highly recommend seeing it. It's very
sure. They gave it to me free too. I'd recommend it.
No, actually, I read the graphic novel, so I was looking forward to seeing it.
Okay. All right. And, good to know. Bless you.
It's creepy. It's really unsettling. Very, very unsettling. If you're into, you know, if you want to see how Dahmer became Dahmer or sort of get a glimpse into that, you
can... just Dahmer being Dahmer.
Yeah.
Dahmer's gonna downer.
Dahmer's gonna nom-er.
This kid, Ross Lynch, who plays Dahmer, he's like from the Disney World. Like Disney.
That's in Orlando.
Yeah. He's one of the performers. No, he was on a show like Alex and Ally or something like that.
And Kate and Ally? I love that show.
He was really amazing. No, he was good. He was really good. Very, very good performance. And you should definitely go read the graphic novel too, because it's pretty creepy.
You want to know what movie looks awesome? Is that Tonya Harding movie?
Oh yeah, good.
I don't like Margot Robbie.
I
know that I'm in the minority of all humans.
Well, I mean, like, what would you say?
Like, I don't get it.
I don't think she looks like her.
Well. Okay, so like, if Amy Adams played this role, would work. Mm. I'm like, but, Margot Robbie.
I don't think Amy Adams is like trashy enough. I think Margot Robbie can be kind of trashy enough to pull off like this version of Tonya Harding. But
I have heard the movie's very good.
I'm actually kind of with you in that I did not think that she was great in Wolf of Wall Street.
Horrible.
And Suicide Squad is, I mean, that just kind of doesn't even count. Like, it's just her sort of like,
I'm a person. Look at me.
I have to disagree with you, Justin.
In all fairness, the whole movie was it. It wasn't like she ruined the movie single-handedly or anything.
No, they had plenty of help.
Right.
It was a squad.
Yeah.
Right.
Squad effort.
It was a Suicide Squad.
I couldn't even make it past that. That was awful.
A whole squad ensuring that you want to commit suicide for having spent $9 on this.
You know, I have to disagree. I think that Amy Adams could have pulled that off. Now I'm thinking about it.
I just think that you want to root for Amy Adams in a way
How that would have changed her career had she done that. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been a different sort of character for her to play.
Like, I you know, in that trailer where like Margot Robbie's just kind of like talking with this weird accent and like some people just want to hate, and it's like, oh, I do want to punch you.
Should have Kesha player.
Yeah, stop.
Well, and I mean, you know, as a rule, Australians are pretty good at American accents, so it's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, it's the accent that's wrong. It's not only that, it's almost just like, where'd you come from?
Well, I guess
I was going to say, like, one of the things with American accents that people do from overseas is they do an accent which doesn't exist. It's like a news anchor accent. It's like super neutral, which, I mean, if you live anywhere in the U.S., you will not come out completely with a super neutral accent. You'll have some regional variation to it.
Yeah.
And so why people have a hard time picking it up.
But I also agree with Sarah that, for whatever reason, Australians can do a better American accent than British actors, because all the British actors just do the same, like weird nasally. Hi, I'm an American.
I'm walking here.
Yeah,
it's because Britons watch more British like homegrown content than Australians. Like, if you ever sit,
it's easy for us to say this too, because we're all so good at other accents.
I mean, legendarily,
blimey, Sarah.
If I wasn't good at
you're
it,
you're right,
I'm just so good at
it. Like Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
She came to the U.S. with a really thick, you know, South African accent.
Yeah.
She sat in her in her apartment and just watched soap operas day after day after day after day to slowly kind of be able to affect a more Americanized, you know, intonation on everything.
And you'd really kind of never know that, you know, her first language was Afrikaans at this point.
Yeah.
Based on her, I don't know, motion picture.
Just her career.
Discography. Yeah, right. Exactly.
With the Tonya Harding movie, the second trailer that they just put out has a little bit more of Allison Janney as the mom. Mm. Which I just realized, no, isn't she in a show called Mom?
How I Met Your Mother? Mm.
Yes.
Isn't Allison Janney and Anna Faris, right?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Who is Nancy Kerrigan?
I don't know.
That's a big part of the story too.
Yeah, she wasn't like, I mean, you see her, but you don't like that. That's not like a big part. The movie seems to be far more about
Caitlin Carver.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for this documentary on Netflix about Andy Kaufman? I'm not Andy Kaufman.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, those were like behind the scenes stuff that they had taken the entire time, and then the studio didn't want to release it because he looked like such a lunatic. I remember reading about that back when the movie first came out, like back in like Entertainment Weekly, that there was like it had been documented.
It was crazy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hello.
Just another normal day with me and Justin here in the studio.
Yeah, man. I'm just sitting here in the studio.
Nothing unusual over here.
In the shadows.
Lurking in the shadows.
Lurking in the shadows. The tech news will
find
you.
It's half Friday. I let Justin raid the hat closet. What made you choose your hat, Justin?
Listen, I was an XM subscriber. I had my my revolutionary, at the time, a mobile satellite radio unit in New York City, and I
New York City.
Yeah. And it was a great time, a simpler time, really, Tom. Yeah. I hearken back to it, and with this hat, I can make those harks a reality.
Hark the herald
angels.
Justin sings.
Wing. Hark, Justin's friend Harold.
Yeah,
is an angel. I had XM.
Christmas songs start earlier and earlier each year.
I had the portable XM device.
Yeah,
which you could kind of use like a Walkman.
Yep.
That's how old it was. You could put it in your car. So we had the hookup where you could we could actually put it in the car, and we had an antenna that went out through the sunroof that we'd plug it into.
Yep.
So when it was in
the
car.
The exact same thing.
Yep.
And the warehouse that we used to work out of in Florida was next to a bar that had a very seedy clientele, and they broke into my car and stole it, not realizing that piece of equipment cost like 5 cents. It was sent to you free if you subscribed.
I remember listening to Cardinals games, because XM had all the Major League Baseball games,
yep,
as I would be on the Transbay bus going back to Oakland. And there was that one part in the middle of the bay bridge where the signal would cut out. And I'd just have to wait while it reacquired. Yep.
That's what is that satellite outage sounds like.
Yep. Oh, I remember that well. It's right there alongside the 28.8 modem sound in my head.
Back to 2-2.
And you'll never believe it, folks. Yeah. What a play. We'll be back after this.
Actually, I remember when I got my thing stolen, it was right when they started offering streaming services. So you were able to have an app that would play back stuff.
But before we get started here, we're going to get started here in just a moment. Sarah Lane wins Hat Friday.
Yeah.
Hashtag
you like it?
Rich.
Oh, yeah.
So just for a little background, my cousin got married recently. Mm. And before that,
congratulations.
Some you know, a gaggle of girls got together and had a little weekend, and somebody bought a bunch of bedazzled hats.
Oh,
and
nice.
Of all of the choices, there was princess and, you know, like too cool and, you know, whatever.
So past tense had a little weekend.
Rich. That one's mine.
Past tense had a little weekend like Selena Gomez.
Oh, jeez. Keep it up. Keep it up on the gossip rags, aren't we?
You know, I do what I can.
Never one to be down on TMZ, no. Tom.
That's me. You know me.
We'll see what Harvey thinks about The Weeknd and Selena Gomez.
Oh, my gosh. I watched that show the other day because it was, I don't know, I had been watching, like, the World Series or whatever, and so, like, my network TV was just on for a while, you know, and the show came on, and I was like, the world show is it? It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it's
best show set in a cube farm.
It's
It's not even really bad. Content aside, It's like it's kind of compelling the way that they go out of their way to bring in Skype people and whatever. It's
got me some ideas about our show.
It's just very strange.
We'll see what Tom thinks about the blockchain.
All right, let's actually see what Tom thinks about the blockchain. You guys ready?
Hold on, wait, I gotta stand up.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Get in position. Do your stand up. Have you ever wondered what's the deal with blockchains? 3, 2. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. From DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline at the beach, I'm Sarah Lane.
And with an LA face and an Oakland booty, I'm Justin Robert Young.
Also joining us to illustrate our Friday is Mr. Len Peralta. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. This is sort of exciting. We'll see what comes out of the digital art thing that I have in front of me.
Yeah, because we're talking about Bitcoin again. Which really, like, Len almost quit. I'm not even kidding.
It's pretty tough.
You could have done the iPhone 10s that fell off a truck. I'm just saying. But I admire your commitment.
I did. You know what? That seems the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
So let's bring it on. Bring it on.
Producer Roger Chang here as well. Roger, how are you?
I am good.
Oh, good. He's good.
A little spring in his step today.
Yeah.
It's super overcast. So I think I feel a little more energetic.
He feels cheery.
When it's overcast than when it's sunny.
That's amazing.
Which is weird because it's really sunny where I am.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
I
really
guess
sunny
clouds
where
went
too.
East today.
He's only happy when it rains.
Yeah. He only sleeps on planes.
Let's
start with a few tech things you should know. Twitter published a new version of its rules, including details about when and why it will suspend accounts. It said it was going to do it. It did it. Among the updates on spam and name squatting, the rules also say Twitter will consider the context of posts before taking action.
Well, that's a relief. Microsoft announced October 17th that its assistive technologies exception for getting a free upgrade to Windows 10 will end on December 31st. That's New Year's Eve. This is the test authorized way to get a free upgrade for Windows 10. Last, rather.
YouTube Kids is adding customized profiles for kids that have different design based on how old the child is. Children can also set their own passcodes that can be overridden by parents, but not by other children.
Yeah, sister, brother.
Deutsche Telekom has reportedly made a revised offer to SoftBank. Yes, this deal is not yet dead. Continuing talks over the merger of T-Mobile USA and Sprint. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that a deal could be reached within weeks, but it also still might fail.
This is the end of the zombie movie when it gets back up one last time, right?
Well, I was thinking that this is the maybe it's part of the rom-com where, you know, they're going to come out of the rain and finally get back together. Bloomberg sources say that Broadcom is considering a bid for chipmaker Qualcomm. The offer would value Qualcomm at $103.2 billion. This also comes after Broadcom announced that they would move their headquarters from Singapore back to California.
This seems more like the rom-com. The Broadcom Qualcomm rom-com.
Just stop it.
The president of the United States' personal Twitter account was deactivated for 11 minutes Thursday by a Twitter customer support employee on his last day. Twitter said it is conducting a full internal review and will take steps to prevent it from happening again. The New York Times reports that the person who deactivated the account was a contractor, not a Twitter employee.
Which is worse, right? It's worse that it was a contractor, not a Twitter employee.
I mean, what's worse about that?
I mean, maybe not. I think about places like Google where half their employees are contractors. And if you work there, sometimes you even can't tell who's a contractor and who's full time. If it's like that, I don't know that it matters. If it was like somebody who was brought in for a couple months and had access to deactivate accounts, then yeah. I think it might be considered.
Because Sarah, to your point, that's what to me is worse about it is this is a tech story far more than it is a political story. And the fact that the Donald Trump's Twitter was the one that was taken down is more indicative of how much control anybody can have over deactivating these accounts. So, I mean, certainly it's probably something that people have more access to than we would necessarily think. But still, if it's, you know, it raises big questions because if we notice when the president's Twitter goes away, who knows when somebody's ex-girlfriend's Twitter gets deactivated or any kind of
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, you know, all kidding aside, it's like, that's the thing. This is a person who wasn't a full-time employee. There was some, you know, making some sort of a statement on his way out. And to be able to be like, real Donald Trump, deactivate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to have that kind of power is like, that's a little mind-boggling.
Contractor or not, obviously, there need to be employees at Twitter who have the ability to deactivate accounts. That's the whole point of the new Twitter rules we just mentioned, is that they are able to suspend accounts. But should that be somebody who on their last day, maybe on their last day, they don't get that? I don't know. I see it both ways. I mean, I understand where Twitter would say, look, if we trusted the person to have that authority, we would trust them through the end of their last day.
I mean, but
But you also would think that there might be, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 accounts that are like super protected, right?
Yeah, or even
susceptible to this sort of thing.
For any account to be deactivated, no matter how big or small, it takes two people or three people or supervisor approval or something.
Yeah, I mean, this can't happen. Yeah. I think is the bottom line is you can't have these accounts just kind of going away because somebody doesn't like them.
Well, moving on to, I don't know, this might be brighter news for some of you. Logitech is developing a keyboard for VR that works with the HTC Vive or Vive.
It's Vive.
Vive. Vive. Gosh, I never get that right. The keyboard is real, but it also shows up virtually when the user is wearing a headset. So the keyboard works with Vive's sensor to tell the headset where it is. Representation of the user's hands also appears virtually as the user is typing. Interested developers can apply until November 16th to get a hold of this for 50 development kits.
That's my mom's birthday.
All right.
This is awesome because as a Vive user, typing anything in is a massive pain in the butt. You're basically right now just trying to use a laser pointer virtually to poke at a keyboard, hunt and peck style for whatever you want to fill stuff in. And oftentimes if you are, you know, I share a Steam account with my wife. If I want to buy something using my money and I now have to log into my PayPal through their system, it's a 45-minute process. So I'm glad that there's solutions on the way.
Yeah, and we did mention it's an SDK too. So this is something where other keyboards could be created, theoretically, if you're a developer. It could work with other keyboards, like an existing, like this K120 that I've got here from Logitech could potentially work. So it's not necessarily a piece of hardware even. It's a way of doing things, and I think that's pretty interesting.
Amazon Fresh customers, I've got some bad news. Depending on where you live, customers in parts of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Virginia, and California have told Recode that they received a notice from the company informing them that Amazon Fresh deliveries will cease operation at the end of the month. And apparently customers in larger cities like Los Angeles and Philadelphia have also been told that their Amazon Fresh service would be discontinued. Spokeswoman told Recode the changes were unrelated to the Whole Food acquisition. Whole Food offered 6,000 new jobs that were opening up this week.
That spokesperson also said that major cities' neighborhoods would still be protected. Neighborhoods being the operative word, because Sakani, who writes our Your Private Driver column for Daily Tech News Show, lives in the greater Los Angeles area, and he got the notice that Amazon Fresh is going away for him.
I can't handle it.
I've used Amazon Fresh, but when I was still living in San Francisco, the trucks were all over the place and delivering to my neighbors a lot. So, I mean, I see that it was a very a service that a lot of people were using regularly. And in our DTNS Patreon boss's Slack, there were some folks, especially in the Philadelphia area, being like, oh, man, you know, I really like this. This sucks. So it's hard for me to believe that it's not related to the Whole Foods acquisition, because it seems like what they're probably going to do is bundle something, you know, call it something else and make it more sort of Whole Foods based. But what do I know?
I would share your suspicion, Sarah, and I use Amazon Fresh all the time. If they cut it off in Oakland, I will be very, very upset, because it is something that both me and my wife use on a weekly, if not multiple times a week basis.
You live within walking distance of a Whole Foods.
I do live within walking distance of a Whole Foods. But also, it just it comes in the middle of the day.
Sure.
It's nice. They leave it outside. Yep. They've gone away from the really annoying green packages. I'm getting very specific.
Yeah,
But now it's in paperbacks. I feel like they've perfected the service, so I hope that continues on some level.
I am a spinner of tales and a dreamer of dreams and a looker at the other side of things. And if I were to try to come up with a reason why Amazon is not lying when it says these are unrelated to the Whole Foods acquisition, it may be that their arm of the company that's doing Amazon Fresh was saying, We're gonna have to start closing this down. It's not working. It wouldn't be the first time that Amazon has started something and then rolled it back because it didn't work. And that may have caused upper management to say, we need a different grocery approach. Let's go buy Whole Foods.
Yeah.
In other words, Amazon Fresh was gonna close down either way, but maybe that necessity and that reality caused them to want to acquire Whole Foods. And I will be curious where their head's at as far as grocery delivery related to Whole Foods, because Whole Foods is in a contract with Instacart, right?
Yeah.
For delivery. Sensor Tower estimates Pandora has unseated Netflix as the top grossing non-games iOS app in Q3 for the United States, which is a lot of qualifiers, but basically means, you know, forget games. They always make a ton of money. Netflix always makes the money in the U.S. on iOS, but this month it's Pandora. Pandora launched a premium service in April that includes playlists and individual tracks, along with the more familiar Pandora radio functions. That's $10 a month. Seems like maybe it's catching on. Netflix did remain the top grossing app worldwide. And another interesting thing Sensor Tower notes is that Snapchat fell out of the top 10 downloads for iOS in the United States for the first time in a while. It's still ranked number 2 on Google Play, though.
Yeah, that was interesting to me as well. I mean, first of all, I don't, you know, I've been a Pandora user for many years. I have never paid for Pandora One, which is the ad-free version, and $10 a month for Pandora. I'm like, what? What in the world? But it surprises me, just because I've heard of Pandora, you know, kind of being plagued with people going to Apple Music and Spotify and sort of forgetting about the whole fun radio algorithm thing that Pandora had championed. But Snapchat not even being in the top 10 of non-gaming
16,
apps
apparently.
For the iPhone or for iOS,
yeah.
That surprises me.
Yeah, that's not encouraging.
Although it's number two on Google Play,
which has a larger install base,
right?
So, you know, not to say that their growth has slowed, but, you know, listen, we will see going forward whether or not that's an aberration or not. Pandora, though, having a little moment in the sun, got a shout out from LeBron James, and they gave him a free account because he said he still listens to commercials on Pandora.
Oh, well, thank goodness he gets a free account. You know, LeBron James is, his pockets are so.
I know. Well, you know.
Tight.
You know, it's just
$10 a month would be too much for King James.
Plagued with bad decisions ever since he left his hometown of Miami to go to some town in Central Ohio.
Now, App Annie says, and this is a different estimator, App Annie says that Snapchat, while it did fall out of the top 10 for them as well, had consistent daily downloads. It didn't lose numbers of downloads. It just got passed by people downloading the things that are in the top 10. So other apps had a surge and Snapchat didn't. It could have to do with iOS 11 updating, to be honest.
Maybe, yeah.
Hey guys, speaking of iOS, did you hear the good word? A lot of people are getting iPhone 10s today.
Yes, some people are.
Quite a few people I know on Twitter were like, is it iPhone 10 or iPhone X? Someone just tell me.
Apple X. has told you it's 10. Well, this is like, it, is it?
But you know, Veronica the other day was like, no, I like X. I'm going to say
I mean,
X.
Okay. But
so there's no real
if
answer.
Somebody introduces themselves as Justin and you're like, oh, but I prefer Hustine. So that's what I'm going to call you. Like,
that's fine. That's fine. Listen, this will, this now, then, forever will always be the iPhone X to me because X gonna give it to you.
Well, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people lined up for an iPhone. I'm going to go ahead and call it 10 today. The iFixit folks, as they do with any new iPhone, got one and tore it apart, discovering a few things. The iPhone has two batteries inside with a total capacity of 2,716 milliamp hours. There are also reports that people in hoodies stole 313 iPhone 10s off a UPS truck outside of an Apple store at Stonestown Galleria. That's in San Francisco. It's like a mall. And each phone was cataloged with a description and a serial number.
So
and
they'll
apparently
be easy to
that
track.
Was in the, you know, $300,000 worth of theft.
People really want them iPhone 10s. So much so that they will go into a locked cargo area. Like, this UPS driver was not falling down on the job. The truck was in a locked cargo area. And some folks, I guess a janitor is quoted in one of the stories as saying, I saw these guys in a white van pull up and break in and take the iPhone.
This is a heist.
It's a heist.
Yeah. This is not any kind of...
I mean, heist. I prefer heist.
Oh, you knock it off. There's, you know, listen, this is a gigantic product, right? People really want it. And we'll see exactly how much... You know, in the next couple days, but those initial sales rollout are.
Yeah. It does seem with Apple's very positive earnings report, the fact that iPhone sales increased before the iPhone 10 came out, the fact that we are seeing lines for the first time in a long time, long lines for something, that people definitely want the iPhone 10. Whether they can actually make enough to increase the sales is probably the issue.
Well, sure. Although at $1,000 a pop, they are certainly going to maximize what they can out of these phones.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. You can get it as a podcast, dailytechheadlines.com, or find it in the Amazon Echo as a flash briefing in Google Home from the Anchor app, or right there in the Anchor app. And that's a look at the tech stories. All right. Fight over the size of the block in the blockchain for Bitcoin is ongoing. Now, if you're having deja vu, we talked very similarly about Bitcoin Cash doing this back in August. There is a new fight, and this one is more serious. Basically, what's happening is they want to fit more transactions on a block, and one faction wants to not increase the block size. Another faction says, no, the easiest way to fit more transactions is give us a bigger block. Now, in layman's terms, it's about how fast and costly it is to mine the Bitcoins, which happens by processing the ledger. So to mine a Bitcoin, you process the transactions. If the blocks are bigger, you can process more transactions, but you need more power to do it. So as in other forks, like with the Bitcoin Cash in August, holders of Bitcoin at the time of the fork will hold the same amount of coins in both versions. So if you have Bitcoin right now, especially if you have it in a private wallet and not in stored in a cloud service, you will have the right to exactly the same number of Bitcoin 2 as you will to original Bitcoin at the moment of the fork. Let's get back to the rumble. Let's get back to the dispute. Right now, Bitcoin is using 1 megabyte blocks. The fork supporters, who want to just be called Bitcoin, they're saying, we're not forking it. We're just upgrading it. And those other people are not going along. But let's call them B2X. The B2X people want it to be 2 megabytes, 2X, twice as big. Miners support this because miners have enough firepower. They've spent so much money on computers that they can accommodate this. Some exchanges are in support of it. Some wallet providers are in support of it. B2X will not provide strong replay protection, however, which means there could be confusion. If you make a transaction on one blockchain, it could happen on the other one by mistake, or it could be attacked to do that. Bitcoin Cash provided strong replay protection, so it was a clean fork. This may not be, because they're kind of playing dirty, saying, well, really, there's only going to be one blockchain, so we don't need replay protection. Now, the opposition to increasing this believes it would make mining too expensive, and it would consolidate control into those miners who have all of this equipment because it makes it more expensive to process the blocks. The developers who maintain the core software of Bitcoin are against the fork. They claim there are better ways to increase block sizes. SegWit is one of them, where you just have more transactions happen in the same block size. And they say this fork will cause more centralization. Now, fork is scheduled for block number 494784, which is expected to process, kind of depends on how fast things go, but it's expected to process sometime in the early morning of my mom's birthday. As I mentioned earlier in the show, that's November 16th, Western Hemisphere time. Certain futures markets are predicting the price of the original Bitcoin will be significantly higher post-split, which means those futures markets are betting that the fork won't work and everybody will stay in the original Bitcoin, but it's unclear whether those markets are reliable.
And let's also understand, when we say that this will centralize some of the Bitcoin power with places that can are better prepared for this, a lot of the talk is China.
A lot of the miners are in China. Yeah, yep.
That you have a lot of these big miners that will benefit from this fork, and now you start to get into other kind of monetary political questions of exactly how much the Chinese government has.
Although the Chinese government has been somewhat antagonistic to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency being used in its economy lately, so there's a lot of mixed signals.
The Chinese Communist Party is many things to many people, but giving up a position to be in global power is not something that I think that they give up very easily. So that is part of the worry here, is that there is just going to be a centralization on who controls the vast majority.
And to be honest, a lot of the main miners are not Chinese, and a lot of the conversations that I'm reading are not going on with them, but that is an aspect of it.
Yeah.
It may or may not be the main aspect of it. It really feels like there are a group that have been trying to increase the block size. And you can ascribe whatever reason to them you want. It could be that they want to centralize control and have all of the blocks with them. They say that's not it. They say it's still anybody is still able to mine if they want to. You could say that they're mad that the developers of the core Bitcoin aren't responsive to them. The developers of core Bitcoin have a very fundamentalist approach, saying we want to keep it small. We want to keep it so that individuals have the power. And they get mocked by the other guys as like, oh, so you want to run the blockchain on a Raspberry Pi? Well, we think it could become a world currency, and it's not going to do that if you're running it on Arduinos.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing reminds me so much of, you know, how a boardroom might have a conversation about a company stock split, right?
Yeah.
It's not unlike that. But in that case, you got five people, mostly men, in a room, you know, kind of deciding the fate of shareholders and, you know, early investors and that sort of thing. This is so much more unwieldy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea of like, okay, well, Bitcoin might be more centralized. Well, okay, but there's still a lot of people who have something to say about this. I mean, it's, you know, where is the centralization actually going to happen?
It would be the miners. It would be that the big miners are like, we could totally do 2 megabytes, no problem. But smaller miners would become less and less important.
Yeah, it seems the decentralization of Bitcoin, which is very attractive in its own right, seems to be a hindrance for something like this to go ahead smoothly.
But this is also the story of Bitcoin, right? Is that it has it is from its very inception, this problematic currency that happens to continue to survive, and the benefits to it are obviously very, very clear.
Yeah. What's funny is I actually read a great article about this on fortune.com. If you want to understand more, we've got a link to it in the show notes. It's by Jeff John Roberts. It's called Bitcoin SegWit 2X, a plain English guide. And it's where I'm pulling a lot of this information that we're talking about today. I read his article and it felt like, wow, it seems like things are leaning towards the original Bitcoin staying the Bitcoin, that folks are probably maybe going to experiment with this Bitcoin too, but they won't go into it. He pointed, however, to a Forbes article from October 23rd by Laura Shin which is also excellent and goes into a ton of detail about the personalities and the companies involved. And she paints a story that makes it seem like the Bitcoin 2 people have the upper hand because of no replay protection, because they've got the biggest mining operations, and basically like, hey, if you want to trade Bitcoin at the place where the transactions happen promptly, you want to be where all the miners are. So she makes it feel like, well, maybe the Bitcoin 2 people have the upper hand. And the fact of the matter is, nobody knows. Nobody's going to know until November 16th.
Because ultimately, the best and worst thing about Bitcoin is that the market decides, and there is very little central authority to direct it where you might want it to go strategically.
Yeah. GPEG was asking in the chat room, where do you sell Bitcoin? Coinbase. or any exchange, but Coinbase is the big exchange, and honestly, they could swing this.
Yeah.
The money is that they will probably support Bitcoin too, but if all their customers stick on Bitcoin, miners or not, Coinbase may prioritize that one. There's a lot of fights over who gets to call themselves BTC at these exchanges, and there might be differences in that. There's also issues with some exchanges will call Bitcoin 2 Bitcoin. Some exchanges will call the original Bitcoin Bitcoin. So it's going to be confusing out there for a while. And if you're wondering what the safest thing to do is, most of the advice I've seen is you should keep your keys in a local wallet, not in an exchange, so that you have control, you get full credit for both forks, and then hold on to them. Don't do any transactions until this all shakes out.
Just head to the Winchester and wait for this to all blow over.
Just keep those
also, Bitcoins also, worth noting, pool. Bitcoin all-time high, $7,270.11 to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, it's still going up. And Bitcoin Cash is around $600. So that fork, not worthless, but certainly not as valuable. All right, real quick, let's check in with Mike Range, who does our monthly column of a humorous look at the tech stories. Mike, what do you got for us looking back on October?
I'm Mike Range, and it's time for the October Monthly Tech Views, also known as the tech news version of raisins in your trick-or-treat bag. Here's a morsel to chew on right now. Amazon's new Kindle Oasis e-reader is waterproof in up to 2 meters of water. This has been a long-awaited feature because there will be a time when you are adjusting your clothing with your Kindle pinned between your chin and chest, and it will inevitably slip free. But nobody's toilet is 2 meters deep. For the whole box of raisins, head over to dailytechnewsshow.com.
Thank you, Mike. Check it out. Monthly Tech Views. And you can get his books there, too, dailytechnewsshow.com.
Such a talented writer.
He is. He's hilarious. Let's check in on our messages of the day. What do we have, Sarah?
Well, first one comes from Russell, who says, regarding the story about how AI is able to vet certain kinds of legal documents with more accuracy than humans, lawyers, it was discussed that this could reduce or eliminate the need for more junior attorneys, having the demand higher for the older, more seasoned attorneys to do the more thoughtful wisdom work once the initial pass by the AI is done. This would likely work in the short term, but it would seem that in order to become one of the older and more seasoned wisdom workers, you'd need to spend that time learning your craft by doing the more mundane tasks. So if those tasks are automated, it might make it harder for people to gain the incremental experience that's needed to become more senior over time. Just a thought. You know, that was kind of the point I think we were making the other day, is like, if for some reason you feel, well, you know, AI is kind of like taking the job that I might have spent 5 years slogging to do in order to become a lawyer that's a little bit more respected and has the cachet to move up in the world, you might not go to law school.
True. It all makes sense on paper, but the fact is we've eliminated other jobs in more labor-oriented areas where that argument was made. Like, how can you become a blacksmith if you don't spend years as an apprentice, if you're not, you know, working up your muscles to it? And I think we'll figure out other ways.
Well, I also just think that the role of the junior attorney will change to be more of somebody who works with this AI and tries to get stuff out there. You're still probably going to want human eyes on it on some level before it becomes, you know, fully automated. And look, in newspaper design, everybody used to have to learn how to cut out paper and paste it up on boards and do set typing. And then, you know, InDesign came out and you could do it all on a computer.
And then you just had to learn InDesign. So, yeah. To your point.
All right. We don't know who this is from. Oh, Brandon Tucker, a.k.a. O'Ravenscroft. Oh, he's a good guy.
He says, I've been driving for many years and have been to all the lower 48 states. These days, I say closer to home. I used to run teams, and that is the area that I see getting hit the hardest with autonomous trucks. These are trucks that have two drivers in them, so they can switch off and basically not stop other than brakes, fuel, and switching out. I can see the advantages of automated trucks taking over. It is really hard to sleep in a moving truck. This is the reason why I got out of it. Plus, you don't always get the best co-driver. You generally don't get to pick them, and you can really get some bad ones. I got stories for sure. So maybe those drivers can move on, can move more regional or local work. Instead, they can stay on the OTR, over the road runs, supervising the autonomous trucks. I've got tons more to say on the subject, but I won't hit you with all of it today. LOL. P.S. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, he says, I was listening to the show and you talked about the elevator repair guy using AR to help fix things. Plus, you talked about the autonomous trucks. And it's funny because I was driving my truck down the road hauling elevator parts. He also says, I want to thank Jury for getting me into trucking. Many years ago on the old BB Live show, I asked a quick question because I was torn about switching careers. And Jury gave me the push to go through with it. Thank you very much, my friend. It has worked out great. Because of that little push, I changed careers, moved to a farm in the country, met the girl I'm going to marry.
Hey, yeah. Well, look at that, Ravenscroft, and thank you for falling into my dastardly plan to move you into a career where you have to listen to more podcasts.
All right, let's check in with Len Peralta before we're out of here. What have you been drawing, Len?
Well, you know, it might be my age, but listening to you talk about Bitcoin is super confusing to me. Still can't wrap my head around it. So what I decided to do is make it even more confusing by drawing King Dice and Cuphead from the game Cuphead. And King Dice is showing you the Bitcoin is splitting, that there's a smaller Bitcoin, a larger Bitcoin, which one you going to take, what's the real one? And of course, Cuphead is saying, confusing, in his little tiny Cuphead voice.
I think you may have encapsulated the entire Bitcoin conversation happening online.
You know, if not, I added a little bit more of a dimension to it to try to, you know, make people second guess what they know or don't know about Bitcoin. So
just, you know what, get these wallet size and just hand them out when people ask you about Bitcoin.
Just here. Boom.
There yeah, you go. People will be like, oh, I know Cuphead. Yes. So
yeah, look into the pencil thin mustache of King Dice.
Folks, you can find that, of course, at LenPeraltaStore.com, where you also might be able to slip in and get your name on the Daily Tech News Show end of your poster.
That's right. There's still just a few little slots left, just a handful. So you got to act quick. I'm only taking orders till the 15th. So, and I'm going to roll with whoever's on there. So if you want to get in it right now.
Hurry up. Get over there. Hey, thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We don't do this show if you aren't out there just giving us at least a dollar. So we understand, and I see this all the time, and it kind of breaks my heart. There's always people who log off because they say in their exit survey, it's financial difficulties, and that's going to happen. So if you're out there without financial difficulties and you can spare a dollar a month, jump on in, pick them up. Patreon.com/DTNS. Justin Robert Young.
Yes.
What do you got going on?
I'm going to be at BlizzCon this weekend. So if you are out there, go ahead and holler at me. I'll be hanging out. I'll be doing the Angry Chicken, the Hearthstone podcast. And then also Philadelphia, November 18th. That's a Saturday at Shot Tower Coffee. I'm doing a live show, a live version of Politics, Politics, Politics that I think anybody who enjoys the political musings will very much enjoy that show. So go ahead and check it out. November 18th, Shot Tower Coffee, 7 p.m. It's a free show with a suggested $10 donation.
And folks, if you are at BlizzCon and you see me, come up and say hi. If you're an advisor level patron and you see me, I will buy you a drink.
Oh!
Whoa.
Oh!
Just saying.
Bring your receipts. Hey.
The perks come out of nowhere sometimes, folks. Patreon.com.
It was never so refreshing.
Patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, and it's now 21:30 UTC. Listen to the unicorn at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back to Monday with Veronica Belmont. Talk to you then.
What was that?
Hmm.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Oh, you're making it harder for me to.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why I did that. I hate it when it does that.
That's weird.
Audio happens. Gosh, there's this garbage truck that's just been hovering right outside my window this entire show. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
I don't hear it. Are they actually picking up garbage, or are they just kind of hanging out listening to the show?
Well, yeah, there's a dumpster that's kind of in the alley that somebody comes by and, you know, they pick it up. But it's usually not at 2 p.m. on a Friday, and it's like they came, they dumped. I turned my audio down because it seemed really loud, and it's like they're still there.
So it's actually bringing out like a dumpster, and it's not just a regular truck filled with garbage people.
Well, it is a regular garbage truck that's designed to unload things in a dumpster, but
sure,
it's a metaphorical dumpster fire.
I don't know why
fire,
they're but, idling yeah, outside. Actually. I know you guys can't hear it, but it's like so loud in here. I was the whole time I was so worried. Like it just sounds like mayhem right now.
No, and it's distracting because we used to have like this is back in the Tech News Today days. A like jackhammer going on outside my window, and you would not be able to hear it across the mic,
right?
But I could, and it was just bothersome.
It's sort of like, you know, when you're on the phone with somebody and you're like, oh, do you hear that echo? And they're like, no, it's fine. And you're like, no, but I hear it.
Yeah,
and it's not
fine.
I'm
like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Do you want to do titles?
Oh yeah,
instead?
What do we got for titles?
You got Bitcoin 2, Electronic Hullabaloo.
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 Nice.
Although we did something, too, Electronic.
We've done Hullabaloo. The Boogaloo thing a few times, but Hullabaloo's new. That's a whole new
story. Yeah.
Broadcom, Qualcomm, Romcom.
That's strong. Good. Strong work.
Jury in the HQ, Exyn equals 10, Broad, Qualcomm, Com. Did that one. T-Zombie deal sprints back to life.
I Houston, really like Robert Split Young. Point. Splitcoin is a good title.
Where is it?
Splitcoin.
Splitcoin is, that's good.
Splitcoin, that's a good one.
All right. Splitcoin, it's moving up. Number two.
Yeah.
Hashtag rich. Don Fresh has gone sour. Putting a fork in Bitcoin.
I'm glad you explained the hat.
What, hashtag rich doesn't
because
the coolest thing you've ever seen?
Well, no, because as soon as you put it on, you're like, yeah, I got this at this, you know, wedding, etc. I didn't realize till just this moment that out of context, it just looks like you're like, I'm rich, I'm so rich.
I mean, it's not like you see Warren like Buffett bragging. Wandering around with a bedazzled hat, you know?
Listen, guys.
Bejeweled.
There's nothing wrong
Speak
with a little,
aspirational
bling,
hat.
In your life. Yeah. On
Wear the hat you want to be.
It's funny.
XOR10, it's whatever you like. New coin on the block. Attack the blockchain. Something rotten in Amazon Fresh. I prefer Houstine.
I was going to go with Sara, but I was actually too afraid to call you that to your face. So I went with Houstine instead.
Houstine. Roberto.
Pandora opens Netflix's box.
Oh.
Logitech Schrodinger keyboard. It's both virtual and real.
I like Splitcoin.
Yeah, I think Splitcoin probably just gets there the fastest, you know.
And we never used it before, right? For sure.
Not that I can remember.
All right.
Of course, my memory's not that great in my advanced age years.
Mind like a rusty trap.
My mind's like an IKEA trap waiting to be assembled.
IKEA trap.
With proprietary screws.
They're not proprietary. They're just they just happen to choose all the links that no hardware store normally keeps in stock. You have to.
Now I understand why your best friend is Alan.
Ah.
Alan Wrench, get it?
Yeah.
Get it, Len? Get it?
What?
Oh, Alan.
Well, yeah,
I just.
I'm just waiting for an export. Ooh, wait, I need to stop that export because I just remembered I need to
do the edit.
Do the edit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. OMG, garbage man. What can I do to get you out of here?
That's a great song.
You can tell him that he's in violation of something.
I'm sure they have a good reason. It's just so loud.
Picking up bodies. Just picking up bodies.
Here's one thing that I will say about the new Thor movie. It is like Tim and Eric awesome show level Goldblum. Like, it is,
oh.
Weaponized Goldblum.
Apparently that, I just read today that that movie is like 90% ad-libbed.
Highest rated Marvel movie of all time.
Does it feel like it's ad-libbed? Did it feel like it was ad-libbed?
I don't know if it felt like it was ad-libbed. You certainly got the sense that everybody was having almost too much fun. Like there are moments where you're kind of like your body is expecting the superhero movie beat of like, we got to get them, and they make a joke. And it's like, yeah. Oh, wow, I guess we're making jokes in this version of the movie. But it's hilarious. Like the further I get away from it, the more I'm like, oh, my God, that movie was so funny.
Anything that a 10-year-old would find?
Monica Belmont, talk to you then.
You'd be uncomfortable sitting next to a 10-year-old watching. Or anyone you know.
I don't know if there's any. I don't know if there's not really a lot of sex language stuff necessarily. I mean, there's definitely some.
Now Len's sad.
There's definitely some kind of more Belmont violent imagery.
Veronica Bell.
Yeah, 5-year-old.
Like there's a lot of like battling hell beasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nothing. I'm just worried, like, you know, sometimes in Guardians it gets a little bit weird and the stuff you're talking about, like, kind of uncomfortable for little kids.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember if there's anything specifically that you'd be like, no, that's totally inappropriate. But there is a lot of, like, stuff that might go over a younger...
There's innuendo, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, really, the more I think about it, the Grandmaster character played by Jeff Goldblum is just like, just.
I mean, essentially, what it felt like to me is their direction was just be Jeff Goldblum.
Oh no, yeah. Just more you.
Just be as like you're the Grandmaster, but don't try to be the Grandmaster. Just be Jeff Goldblum.
You're Jeff Goldblum
saying the things the Grandmaster would say.
How much of backstory of any of the MCU do you need to enjoy this film, or can you enjoy it sort of on its own?
I actually think that it is almost targeted toward people who have seen everything. Like there are jokes and references.
I was going to say, there's nothing in the story that you couldn't pick up if you've never seen anything. Like, oh, I guess Thor had a prop. Like, they give you all of those beats, but the references and the jokes are totally lost on you in some cases if you haven't seen other stuff.
Sure. Sounds cool, man.
It's not as funny if you haven't seen the other stuff, for sure.
No, it. There are times where, I think, you know, even on See It, Skip It, which is available on
Facebook Watch from Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah,
ooh,
it's a good show.
You know, the phrase, they made a spoof movie. They made an MCU spoof movie is kind of said, and I can definitely see where, you know, I don't think it is a spoof, but I do think that it would be hard to make a spoof of the MCU universe now after that movie, if that makes
sure,
any
okay.
sense.
Okay, yeah. That sounds great.
But it is
actually, that makes me
hilarious.
Wonder how Thor Ragnarok should have ended, what they're going to end up doing.
Also, I didn't quite get the after credit scene.
Well, I haven't seen it. So, you guys.
No, I know.
That's right.
That was.
I probably won't see it until Thanksgiving anyway.
You can go see it.
I just, man, I just. when I do have time, it's like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. And then,
well, my daughter's birthday is tomorrow. She turns 10 and then she keeps talking about it. And I was thinking maybe I would take her to go see it.
How old is she?
She turns 10 tomorrow. My second daughter, my younger daughter. And she keeps talking about Thor. She's like, that Thor comes out on my birthday.
Thor.
I think she secretly likes Thor.
There's a lot to like about Thor. He is a hunk and a half.
He's a likable guy. Funny, too.
Oh, he would be perfect. You know, really, it's just
a stable job, though. He's not a doctor or a lawyer.
He's an actor.
Actor.
Oh, jeez.
Look, you guys weren't saying anything. I had to fill the space.
I know. Well, I filled it also with an oh, jeez. So now we're lousy with words.
All right. So I won't see you until like the end of the month or something.
Oh, right. So, okay.
Oh, you're out.
Yeah. When are you gone? When are you back?
I am not here.
Why don't you love us anymore?
I know. I just looked. I'm like, oh, I won't be here next Friday. Next Friday, we have an event that I am running, helping run.
Oh, cool.
The weekend after, we're celebrating our anniversary/birthday weekend with Nora.
And isn't that Thanksgiving?
And then the weekend after that is Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So three. Wow. That's going to be a long time without Len.
I know.
So what is the DTNS schedule for Thanksgiving? Is it not happening?
Wednesday show, no Thursday or Friday shows. Okay. But there will be headlines Thursday and Friday, and we'll put them in the DTNS feed for people.
Nice. I am taking you off that Thursday, Justin.
Yeah.
You're doing that
We're
show
taking
today.
You off the show.
Did everybody get past Stranger Things?
Taking ourselves off of it, too.
Yes, I
Everybody
finished
tired
it.
That day.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was much. I liked it. It was actually better than the first season.
Nobody's giving Sarah. Nobody's respecting Sarah's firing of everyone.
Yeah, she's fired. She's made us all redundant.
Don't show up. You are fired.
I'll bring my laptop.
I have to go downstairs and talk to the garbage person. I can't do this.
Okay. All right.
Uh oh.
Take your camera.
I know.
When you yell, point your microphone out the window so we can hear you screaming at it.
I see her just light that dude on fire.
All of a sudden, we just see like a trash man fly through her window, aflame.
Now, did you guys know that there is a Beyond Stranger Things on Netflix?
Beyonce?
Yeah, Beyond Stranger. It's basically a talk about Stranger Things show.
Yeah.
Which is my least favorite kind of show.
It wasn't that great. And I like Jim Rash, too. And I'm like,
My problem I could probably do with one. Like, you just finished binging. Let's talk about it. I might have jumped in. But because it was seven.
Right, seven.
I was
apps.
Like, that's not, it doesn't even match up with the episodes. Not that I would have done one per episode anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's just too many. It's just way too many. Too many. It's actually six too many.
For me, it was.
Yeah. I thought it was just going to be like on the set type stuff, and they would be like a 45 minute to an hour thing. But
the only time those things ever appeal to me is if you have a chance to chime in, whether it's like, oh, let me tweet like a question or something. Cause then you're just listening to people talk about something.
Yeah.
And it's one of the least, personally, one of my least favorite things.
Well, but you know, I think the best version of it, of that kind of show, but what sucked is that it became a celebrity thing. Right.
Yes.
And it became like, oh, well, let's have other famous people talk about this show.
Sure.
Whereas, like, to me, I mean, one of the things that I loved about podcasting initially was the Lost podcast, right? And those were the creators talking about the episode and all that process. And, like, I love that. I love them explaining, hey, all right, well, this is what we happened with this character. And we really struggled about, like, what we were going to do. And we really needed them to be doing something else.
Yeah. Carlton and Damon, without realizing it, totally cracked the code on that.
It was fantastic, and it was great, and I loved following along. Like, I loved those episodes that were, like, while they were editing the finale, and they were obviously just cracked out because either of them had gotten any sleep. Like, it really...
What was it? Sharkington, they created the character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were memes in their podcast that had very little relation to the actual show,
and
but they were hilarious.
I think that show could be really cool if it was just, you know, a hosts that can move things forward,
mm-hmm.
and then the creators or writers talking about where the decisions they made with the show. I think that could be really cool.
How'd it go?
Great. I was like, hey, is there anything wrong? And he was like, no, why? And I'm like, just been here for a while. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he went on his way. And then I realized he was wearing a hashtag Rich hat.
Nice. Hey, listen, you never know. That might have been the reason why he was so nice.
Everybody was very nice. I was just like, ah, crap. Forgot about that.
What, can you imagine if you just kind of tipped your hat as they went away?
Yeah.
Like, you're such a jerk.
Well, he was kind of like, no, nothing's wrong. And I'm like,
he probably didn't think anybody's home. He's like,
I
didn't leave
here for like an hour. And then, yeah, that was all it took. So, moral of the Friday, you know, maybe get yourself a little.
You know, the thing is, you're
if you ask you nicely.
You can get away with that. I don't think any of us would be able to get away with that without having.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Hey, you know what? Why don't you borrow it from Sarah and see if
this is not something I would wear, like, going to Whole Foods later today.
Yeah. No, you'd go to that other ritzier version.
Hey, Rich, or not Rich, I mean Justin, if you wear that at BlizzCon and you just go through, you just point, you just kind of tap at it.
All right, we'll swing by Sarah's place before we hit the road.
There we go. Yeah,
pick up the hashtag.
There you go. Yeah, you got the hat. Action. Got the hat. Hat's yours. Snap back.
Bedazzled. Be dazzling.
Hey, folks, if you're watching live, we're about to shut down, but you don't have to shut down. Go to twitch.tv/Christy Cates, where she's doing some live music right now.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And if I can figure out how, I will host her on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ChaseTheTech.
So you're doing Twitch and YouTube?
No.
Tonda, how is your friend?
All right, here. You're logged in.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing well.
Just go to the chat.
All right. Yeah. We won't do this live. Hey, thanks everybody for watching. We'll talk to you later.
Vander. Just click in the chat.
Oh, Vander, welcome back.
Oh, no, wait. You have to go to your chat.
Nice to see you, too.
Go to your channel.
All right, you guys. Well, the quest list is open. Here we are at 5 o'clock.
And then in your chat, you just type /host. And then Christy Cates. Boom. Ooh.
What is that called again?
What is what called?
TGI.
When you do that.
Hosting?
No. When you push people, there's a name for it.
Good.
Rating?
Rating. 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 We had a good time. Rating. The party that we had last weekend, last Saturday.
All right, guys.
All right.
Very entertaining.
None, we'll miss you.
Yeah, see you whenever end of the month, maybe.
There we go.
You know, I may actually draw something for next Friday's show, depending, because I don't have to actually leave here until like 5 or 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I may actually draw something, but I may not be on the show.
That's great.
If you do show up, to email us because I have you off right now.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And if you draw something but can't be on, just email it to me and Roger and Sarah, and we'll make sure it gets up.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
See you later.
Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Oh my gosh! I have a new mat. Oh no, we're not off all the airs. We're still been recording for the patrons. Bonus. Thanks everybody. Goodbye.